Good morning. You're listening to Coffee Table on KBBI AM 890 Homer. I'm Renee Gross. Today on our show, it's Sprout's 30th birthday. Sprout promotes the healthy development of families and kids ages 0 to 5. And we're talking about the organization and taking a deep dive into the healthy development of children. And we're joined today by two leaders of Sprout. Welcome. Why don't you two introduce yourselves?
Hi, Renee. My name is Jill Lush. I'm the executive director at Sprout, and thanks for having us.
Hi, Renee. Thanks for having us today. My name is Susie Amundson, and I'm the president of the board of directors at Sprout.
Welcome to you both, and thanks for coming. Let's start by talking about what is Sprout.
Sprout is a community-driven 501c3 nonprofit. And our mission, the thing that we're focused on, is promoting the healthy development of children 0 to 5 and their families.
Great, great. And how many people do you serve?
Well, we serve a pretty broad number. Some of our biggest services are with the Imagination Library, and we have 400 children enrolled in the Southern Kenai Peninsula, but we serve the entire Southern Kenai Peninsula, and also we do a program on the Aleutian Islands.
And walk us through, what are your services?
We have a number of different services. We like to talk about the way that we work with families in a couple different ways. One, we provide parent education and coaching. We also provide therapeutic supports for children. And then we also link parents to each other and to community resources.
Great. And I know one of your services is playgroup that you offer. And we actually have a clip of KBBI's Kathleen Gustafson going into the playgroom. Before we play that, do you want to talk to us a little bit about what playgroup is?
Sure. Playgroup is just a structured time for families to join one another, and there's often education and activities. We have a really great playgroup specialist, Red Aslin, and she sets up this really amazing space for families to come and play and learn.
Wonderful. Well, let's play that clip.
Yes, Kathleen.
Hello, Lisa Aslin.
We are at Paul Banks Elementary, and we are hosting a Sprout playgroup here, and it's open for families with children 0 to 5 years.
And how often does this happen?
It's weekly during the school year, and so we will have our last playgroup at the end of April during the Week of the Young Child.
About how many kids come and what are the goals? I mean, I know it's called playgroup. What are the goals for you?
I think, you know, play is essential, but really we want parents to connect with parents and kids to connect with kids. And in particular in this wintertime is getting that gross motor opportunity for them to run, jump, tumble.
Gross motor opportunity? Break it down for me.
So essentially that is kiddos using their body parts to do big movement. I think is the best way to understand that. So that's why with an open gym, kids can run back and forth with obstacles and mats to tumble on.
Oh, that's right. I see mats. I see a tunnel. There is a rockin' gator over there.
It's a gator teeter totter. And then some cozy spots, some little tents that kiddos can find quiet time. But mostly, this is it. We have lots of kids that like to set up the cones. We have a bunch of cones out, and they create little obstacle courses. And then we have lots of different balls out, and they'll set up a little bowling station, but the bowling pins might be used for little cars that they run across the floor with. So Eliana and Nova and Emma, this is my friend Kathleen. She's gonna come play with us today for a little bit.
I'm pretty excited.
Is that okay?
So what are you guys doing now? What are you taking out?
A tunnel.
A tunnel? So you're
Eliana.
I think we met the other day in the grocery store.
Yeah, I think the only day. My name starts with an E.
I see.
And no, there's no for my sister. She starts with an N.
Let's make a circle.
There are many big balls. Yeah, you see.
Legs, clap, legs,
clap. Legs, clap.
Great, that sounds like a lot of fun. Can you talk about how these services are funded, how Sprout is funded?
Sure. We have a really broad array of funding. We're primarily funded through grants from the state and passed through from the federal government. That makes up about 73% of our funding. We also have about 13% from earned revenue and 10% from foundations and about 4% from individual donors.
Nice. And as I said in the beginning, Sprout is celebrating its 30th birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Can you talk about Sprout's history? I mean, that's a while for Homer that it's been around. How did Sprout get started?
Well, I can talk about that because I was here for that. And so it's just a delight to be on the Sprout board after so many years of being affiliated with this organization. And I was a pediatric occupational therapist for the public schools in 1983, and at that time, the mental health director, Paul Craig, some folks listening will remember Paul, gathered a bunch of folks in what was the Mental Health Center, which is now the South Central Pilots Association on Ocean Bypass. It was just a tiny little office space, and gathered us together and said, what do you think about having an infant learning program? And there was a speech and language pathologist in the room and the teacher for special needs at Paul Banks and myself and probably a couple others. And so Paul, with his wisdom and with Diane Reinert, who was the first executive director of what was then called the Infant Learning Program, wrote a grant proposal, and that it was awarded. And that is how this program, ILP, got started. Diane was half-time, and she told us this summer how much the Kenai Infant Learning Program helped with the grant and getting things set up for the Homer area. And so they, Sprout, or ILP at that time, served the entire southern Kenai Peninsula, and Diane was half-time, and then they hired another half-time person. And so it evolved to being a program under the Mental Health Center, and then it became its own 501c3 several years later. So it was focused on children from birth to three that had developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, maybe sensory issues, and really was very therapeutic in nature. And it has evolved into something so much bigger now.
And to think about, you know, the amount of people involved with it back then as to now is how much it's grown.
Absolutely. And Jill can tell us even more about, more specifics about all the programs that are offered now. And infant learning is just one piece of that.
Right. Infant learning is sort of our foundational program. And as Susie said, it serves children 0 to 3 with developmental delays and disabilities, or also children that are at risk for developmental disabilities or delays. And that means, you know, really that's a program that is every single place in the state offers the infant learning program, and Sprout is the region's leader for that. So through that program, we do all kinds of things, but our primary service really is about evaluating and assessing children's development and seeing what sort of developmental supports they may need. So any parent has access to that program, and you don't need a referral from a doctor, though lots of referrals come from the medical world. But any parent that's interested in what's going on with their kid or has any concerns is welcome to come and check out their child's development, take a deeper dive. Some other programs that we have, we talked about community play groups. I think that it's sort of really important to say to everyone that those are open to everyone. And we meet on Tuesdays right now at Paul Banks during the school year at 9:45. And then we also have a baby group that meets at 1 p.m. at Sprout. So that's for kids 0 to 12 months. There's also a play group out at Chapman in Anchor Point. So that's really exciting that we have that great offering in the Anchor Point region. And something interesting, since 2014, Sprout has served over 5,000 playgroup attendees. So it's really a service that reaches so many families in this region. Other than that, we talked a little bit about Imagination Library, just that it serves 400 kids, but I think it's important to talk about what that is. So the Dolly Parton Imagination Library is a book giving program for children 0 to 5. All kids are eligible for this service in the 99603 or 99663 zip codes. And what happens is it's a 60 volume set of books. And the very first book starts off with The Little Engine That Could. And then after that, books every single month are delivered in the mail to children. And they are developmentally appropriate for the child's age. Other services that we have, the Resource Lending Library. So that's another big one where we have all kinds of books, toys, and equipment where families can come and borrow different items. And then they can also drop off items that they're done with. And so it's sort of a recycling program for the community that is accessible to all.
And with serving so many people over so many years, can you talk about moments or stories that really stood out to you of families and kids really being affected by Sprout?
Well, we actually have just gone through a pretty in-depth history because as we're exploring the 30th birthday, we did lots and lots of interviews from people that we have known in the past. And so it was a really exciting adventure, just hearing different clients along the way, donors, board members, staff, and we had all kinds of feedback about the ways in which they were impacted by Sprout services. Susie has a quote here that is from a family that was impacted.
So this parent says, Sprout helped me parent my child differently. They helped me change what I thought I was doing wrong and helped me realize that it wasn't about what I was doing wrong, but what I can do differently. And that was a parent connected to Sprout since 2017. That's kind of a recent one. Yeah.
And I want to invite people out there listening, if you have a story or memory of Sprout or use Sprout services now and want to call and tell us about it, or have a question about healthy development of children, you can do that as well. The number to call is 235-7721, or you can email info@kbbi.org. And I think actually that quote leads us right into another clip that we have, again, with KBBI's Kathleen Gustafson. Let's take a listen.
I'm ready.
That's my little lady.
What's her name?
Rosalyn Rose.
And will you tell me your name?
Sadie Rose Philpott, yeah.
How long has she been coming to Sprout?
Since November. We moved here in June, so it's great for getting into the, you know, getting a group atmosphere so she can play with other kids.
Oh, it must be fantastic for meeting other parents.
She has a 9-year-old brother, so she needs the interaction of people her age.
Oh, excellent. I hadn't even considered that aspect of it. You come new to town with kids. This is a great way to meet parents and other kids.
Yeah, especially being a military family because you don't know anybody.
Are you Coast Guard family?
Yes.
Well, welcome.
Thanks
for coming.
We love it.
Oh, good.
So it's really helpful for us when we transfer as often as we do to meet people. And this is a great atmosphere because you make friends with the kids and other moms.
Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
Breathe in, then out like the wind. Morning has come, night is away. Rise with the sun and welcome the day. Down is the earth, up is the sky. Here are my friends and
so in that clip, we heard the mom talking about you know, getting to meet people, her kids getting to meet people. And you also do a lot of education for parents. Can you talk about some of the myths that you see parents have about what makes good parenting that actually can be detrimental?
Well, I think the first one is a myth is that parenting is easy, or it should be easy, or I'm not doing it quite right, you know? And so I think that is a really big myth, because every parent we know is probably working at their top capacity, right? Because this is hard work raising children. So that's the biggest myth that kind of stands out to me. Jill?
I think an addendum to that, Susie, just that parenting can be lonely. I feel like that isn't really talked about very often. I think the images that we see of families and parenting on TV and in the media, everybody always looks happy. And, you know, like Susie said, parenting is hard work, but on top of that, it can be lonely. And I really, as I was listening to that clip of the mother in playgroup, I was thinking about her scenario, which I don't know what it is, but I just imagine that her partner leaves for big amounts of time. And then I think about how just the stress of that, of having two kids and being alone at times that aren't predictable and that aren't led by your decisions. I think a lot of Alaskans have that same scenario. So, you know, we all know slope workers. Then there's single parenting in general. And so it's really hard, and we're not really built to be doing this alone. We've had a history of, you know, raising families in groups of people. And our current day society is pretty isolated. So, and then you add Alaska on top of that. And so many people have moved away from their families, and they might even live here in Homer in a more remote place. So way out East End Road, or way out, you know, off Tall Tree, and the isolation becomes a little bit heavier.
And just to add to that kind of loneliness piece is I've run a group for mothers building emotional resilience of women, and there have been mothers in some of my groups, and this isn't affiliated with Sprout. This is another focus, but one of the things that comes up for parents is self-doubt. Am I doing this the right way? Or what's really working? Am I being a good role model? You know, am I giving my child enough experiences to facilitate their curiosity? Things of that nature. And just kind of that self-doubt. Am I doing this okay? Is this good enough parenting? And I think the wonderful thing about the Sprout staff that I've seen, and I don't work close to the Sprout staff, but what I see is that they're so welcoming to parents. They're so strength-based. So if you're doing things really that are make a great connection and they're responsive to the children, the staff really encourages that with parents. And that is just a wonderful, welcoming, reassuring way to be.
I'd like to add to that too, Susie. Something that came up for me as you were talking is another myth, and that's just that parents need to put their kids' needs first. And, you know, sometimes there's developmental reasons why that is true. You know, babies need to be fed, otherwise, you know, they can't feed themselves. But there's also the piece that we like to talk about, the analogy of the air mask, and that you need to put it on yourself first before you put it on your baby. And there's so much about that. Like, this is hard, and we need parents to feel supported and to feel like they have access to resources where they can take care of themselves so that they can be a better caretaker to their children.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering too, you know, if a parent feels really stressed out, or you know, is really struggling with something, how that can affect the kid. You know, how parents' well-being, you know, can also affect kids.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely a big issue, and kids are perceptive, and they're also dependent. And so they're picking up and learning everything from their parents, including stress management and including how to regulate those emotions or to manage those emotions. I think you're right on with that.
Do you ever find that parents are, hesitant to ask for help? And if so, you know, how do you encourage parents to be okay asking for help?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think in Alaska, you know, where we are independent and self-sufficient and, pretty tough characters mm-hmm. here, that we tend not to ask for help when we need to ask for help. And so this isn't just parents, this is just like kind of Alaskans in general, I think. And I know I'm making a stereotype. However, I think playgroup is a perfect example where you bring parents together and they're able to just have a natural connection with each other, even when their child is maybe engaged or Red has an exciting activity for their children, where parents can make connections and they can talk about just their stresses and strains of parenting and in just kind of a very natural way. And we know that those kind of networks, those kind of informal networks, are just so really promote parent health and person health.
In addition to that, I think something that we find is pretty universal is that many parents have worries about their children. And like Susie was saying, society has a mindset that you should wait out periods of challenge. So on top of that, the Alaska-ness of everyone. And I think that that's a big myth that we really like to bust at Sprout, that we don't really like the wait and see technique. We're here and we're ready to support you. And we really feel like it's better to seek support, and the earlier the better.
And do you see, you know, barriers to people getting support or deciding that it's time for mm-hmm. them to take their children in?
Well, one thing about what we were just talking about, I mean, I think judgment is a big barrier for anybody that's seeking support. And I think parents that reach out or that are thinking about reaching out may feel like they're doing something wrong or that there's something wrong with their child, where in fact it might just be little things or little tips that really change dynamics within the family or coaching or even just little developmental tricks that staff at Sprout are so handy with assisting parents in.
Other barriers, too, which we sometimes don't think of, but it was interesting, and I'll just do another little pitch. The Homer City Chambers had a forum this past Monday that focused on public transportation. And, you know, it can be that someone doesn't have a car or there's one car in the family, and that person that went to work took that car and needed that car, and then there may be mom and the little ones at home. So just that barrier of transportation comes up all the time in rural areas, and really, we really want to work through that because that is a physical barrier, and we have enough barriers kind of emotionally about this, like, oh, I'm not a good enough parent, or maybe some shame involved with that, when everyone is just working at top speed and trying to do their best. So I think the more we can lift those type of physical barriers like public transportation, the better. It makes one less hurdle for parents to get through.
And Susie, I was at that meeting on Monday night, yeah. And one thing that I brought up was car seats. And I think that's another thing
Perfect.
To plug in. Something that Sprout offers is we do car seat checks, and we also help families access car seats if they need financial assistance and getting those. So alternatively, a couple other ways that we try to deal with the transportation barrier. Yeah. We don't have all the answers, but we do really try to provide case management support to families. And so helping them access the transportation supports that exist. And that includes specific supports at Sprout, where we help with taxi vouchers. And we also have a in-house vehicle that can help with direct transport sometimes.
And if you're just joining us, we're speaking to Sprout's organization leaders, and you're listening to The Coffee Table. I'm Renee Gross. Let's go to another clip of KBBI's Kathleen Gustafson at Sprout's Playgroup.
My name is Carla Cope. I have two daughters, Eliana and Nova, 4.5 and 2.
And how long have they been involved with Sprout?
I actually started going to Sprout before I had Eliana. We did pre-baby parent group where we could meet with other parents and talk about, before the baby's even born, talk about concerns and what to expect.
And so you had a cohort.
Our dads were there too. I mean, it was nice for the dads to, because sometimes they're out of the loop with the baby showers and, you know, when you're pregnant, it's very female. Yeah, so to have a chance to talk to other dads that are, you know, coming up.
Since before you had your kids, you were involved with Sprout.
Yes.
And what do you feel like Sprout offers you?
A sense of community support. I have gone in there and asked questions about where my kid is at. There's also a lending library, so we've taken toys out, bring them home, bring them back. They're a place to exchange ideas, get support with kids and what's going on with them. And also, as a parent, I've taken a couple of different classes through them, parenting classes. And when I think about it, I've really spent a lot of time at Sprout. And the people that work there are amazing. They're kind, they care, it's really fun seeing them in town and having my kids go, oh, Miss Red, oh, there's Margie, there, you know, all the different people that have worked there have been a really big support and have really created a sense of community for my kids.
Well, thanks. Also, is there anything to tell someone who's listening, who might be planning for a baby or have kids running around the house, something that you could tell them about Sprout that would recommend it to them?
I'd say get involved with Sprout, see what they have to offer. I know people have gone there for kids that need extra support with speech development. The amount of services they offer is astounding.
And if the audience wants to join into this conversation to talk about Sprout or healthy development of children, you can call 235-7721 or email us at info@kbbi.org. So Sprout is all about the healthy development of children, and I just want to break that down. What does that mean? What is the healthy development of children's components?
That's a complex question because it's a complex issue. Just to really oversimplify it, your child's development depends on both the traits that he or she was born with and also about what he or she experiences. So you might think of something like the nature-nurture debate that you've heard about or maybe you studied in high school. And another really big element is that the relationship that you have with your child is really the foundation of his or her healthy development.
And we talked about parents, you know, coming to Sprout for support. What are some of the questions, the most commonly asked questions, that they are wondering about healthy development of children?
Some of our biggest referrals happen when kids are about 12 to 18 months, and it has to do with communication. That's some of the biggest questions that we get. And really, I think that we find that most people have a pretty particular topic that they're worried or concerned about or wondering about. And it's, like I said, it's pretty complex because all areas of development are linked. And so that's why Sprout is really involved in being specialists in development, because it's really hard to just focus only on one of those areas. So those areas typically are split up in social, emotional, intellectual, language, and motor. But it's so much more complicated than that.
It is.
It also, you know, another thing that we really look at that I was mentioning was about the relationship between the child and their caregivers or parents, and you know, what children experience, including how their parents respond to them, shapes their development as they're adapting in the world.
And this might be a great time to talk about brain development a little bit too. You know, when we think about brain development, what Jill was talking about is kind of that nurture and nature part. And there's this piece that we know that when I was a young pediatric occupational therapist, that we thought and we intuited, but we really didn't know. However, with the brain science now, we do know. And what we know is that children's relationships, mainly with their primary caregivers, and their whole interactions in their environment is what builds the architecture of the brain. And I'll give you an example of that, which is really key to the first 1,000 days of life. We have this portion of our brain called the midbrain, which really hardwires us for emotional development and also with building relationships. And that part of our brain does its most robust growth in our first 1,000 days of life. And so it can later determine how we think, how we react to stress, our behaviors. So for instance, a child who's raised in poverty, and we all know people that have been raised in poverty. I was raised in poverty. And those type of experiences can set you up for the rest of your life. And so we know that those messages can be body-based. A lot of them are body-based because there isn't a lot of language the first 1,000 days of life. And so you might have the cringe factor when somebody starts talking about money, if that was an issue for you as a little one. And so, and it goes through childhood, it goes through adulthood. And so oftentimes those deeper messages were actually established in the first 1,000 days of life. So the more we can have responsive relationships where we have a parent that shows up for us by the way that we are and that are warm and nurturing, the healthier we're really going to be with our social and emotional reactions, which is kind of the basis of everything.
Relationships are such a key component here.
Yeah.
And one of the things you talked about, you know, you said the first 1,000 days of life. I'm wondering if you can also talk about, you know, why Sprout serves specifically kids 0 to 5 and why that age group is so important.
Go ahead, Jill.
I think that maybe I want to echo a little bit about brain science. And so I think that's really why we're targeting that age group. The brains are the most malleable during that time period. So something that we like to talk about is brains are sort of a use it or lose it muscle. And so during that time period, babies are just really exploding in their learning and development in a way that later in life just isn't even comparable. So we have this opportunity working with kids 0 to 5 to really lay that foundation and try to make concrete wiring happening within the brain. So they can form habits that stay with them way later in life, and the ability to learn happens during that time period.
Mm-hmm. And a hot topic right now is really adverse childhood experiences that people are saying, you know, really affects people later in life. And you guys have you know, already sort of mentioned how experiences 0 to 5 can really change people. Can you talk about what adverse childhood experiences are?
Yes, we can. And adverse childhood experiences is commonly referred to as ACEs. And it was based on a big study done in Kaiser Permanente probably a decade or more ago now, where they looked at 17,000 folks and they really did a questionnaire of what your childhood experiences were. And some of those questions were about abuse. Like, did you have emotional abuse? You know, or did the adult at home swear at you or insult you or put you down? Other was physical abuse. Were you slapped around? You know, were you pushed? Were you grabbed? Other is sexual abuse. Were you sexually assaulted or molested? And then there's these different household challenges that fit under this ACEs umbrella, and that is, did you watch somebody being treated violently in your house? Was there substance abuse? You know, alcohol, drugs, now prescriptive meds, opioids. Was there mental illness? And then another one is emotional neglect and just physical neglect, just not being there for your child, you know, not being home when they're home. So those are kind of the classic ACEs of the first 18 years of life. And now with more research, they're kind of looking into other things, such as poverty being an ACE also. And, you know, it's interesting because our new tagline at Sprout is growing up with Sprout lasts a lifetime, because we really believe in this brain science and brain development. So when we look at ACEs and we look at long-term outcomes, we know a few things about ACEs: that they're common, that they cluster, they can cluster together, and also there's what's called a dose response. So as the amount of stressors go up, the intensity of the outcomes, life outcomes, also increases, if that makes sense. So we know that there's a number of different life outcomes that happen, and that people are more susceptible with a higher ACE scores of alcoholism and depression, fetal death, suicide attempts, financial stress, early initiating of smoking and drinking, and we even know, like, ischemic heart disease, liver disease, poor work performance. So these are really broad physical, emotional, and life outcomes that affect us. So, you know, I just can't stress how important these key years are for healthy child development, because it sets you up for a lifetime.
I think it's important to add that it's possible to rewire the brain at any age, but it really is the easiest in childhood. And yes. So that's why we're focused on how is it that we can provide as many buffers as possible, whether that's social support or parental resilience or access to resources. How can we, as an organization, help provide that for families? Because we know that adverse childhood experiences are happening, and they are happening at a greater rate in Alaska than they are elsewhere. So, how can Sprout help fill those gaps?
Right. So Jill's just spot on. These are such key years. However, one of the things that she said, which is a message of promise and hope, is that we may have had an adverse childhood. However, that doesn't set us, it's not in concrete, because they're neural circuits. And so we can rewire and refire them. And we, with practice, we can change our neural circuits and increase our resilience.
Sprout is also very involved with the MAP Coalition, the Community Health Coalition of the Southern Kenai Peninsula, and specifically with the Resilience Coalition, who's really looking at and focused on ACEs and what we as a community can do for folks at any age. I think we've recently just produced a white paper that is being spread all over the town that is targeted towards medical providers, caregivers, parents. Some of the recommendations that are specifically for parents are about that relationships form a buffer to mitigate the effects of toxic stress. So some of the specific recommendations are to be with your child, to sing with them, to play with them, to validate their feelings, and let them know that you're going to keep them safe.
Yes, and I just want to add to what Jill is saying is that, you know, really being responsive in predictable ways to kids is so important, and just having that warmth and nurturing towards them. And we know that's not easy in the grocery store when they're grabbing things off the box and the other one's, you know, screaming because they're hungry, right? And so we know that's not always easy, but that it's just important to have routine and health and safety. And that's really one of the important roles of a parent, is protecting their child in really good ways and allowing them to go out and explore and having a lot of curiosity, but also being that safe anchor and harbor for your child. So important. And at this point, I think we should talk about the parenting classes, because one of my favorites is the Circle of Security.
I forgot to mention that earlier. So Sprout also offers several parenting classes. Susie mentioned the Circle of Security, which is really focused on the exploration, the going out, if you will, when little children go out into the world, even if that's in a room away from their parent, and explore. And then at the point that they're ready, they return back to the parent or the caregiver to really show that they're connected and that they're safe. And so it's about safety and security. Another class that we do is the conscious discipline class. You asked earlier what parents are concerned with. I don't really remember what I said about that, but that is definitely a hot topic that parents in this community are wondering about. It's always a challenge, I think, with learning the information and figuring out how do you deal with all of the things that happen in child development. And conscious discipline is one curriculum that we use to help give some tips and tricks. And then we also are doing a couple sort of annual Saturday classes that are just one day, one and done kind of a deal. And I think that one thing to pass on is that these are ongoing, and so they happen all the time throughout the year. And so we'll do sort of one at a time, but they're kind of rolling on an annual basis. And so even if you've already taken a parenting class, you're welcome to come back and retake it, or you're welcome to come back and take a different type. There's different styles for everybody, and we're here just to support you along the way.
And Renee, I would just like to add to what Jill said, is that when I think about the Sprout staff, I mentioned this before, you know, they are a welcoming group for parents to come, because I think parents really feel heard and seen and understood and kind of received for wherever they're at with good enough parenting. And so I would just really encourage parents out there that if you have any kind of doubts or you just want more resources for your children, that Sprout's the place to come.
And can you talk about, you know, for parents who have experienced ACEs, as you said, you know, it's very common, you know, the score on your ACEs might be different, but, you know, most of us, you know, have, you know, at least some adverse childhood experiences. How do you encourage parents who have had adverse childhood experiences and are afraid of kind of passing that down to their kids?
I think that is a really big issue, because I think that through studies we have found out that ACEs are intergenerational. But what we're hoping to do is that we're hoping over time that we're decreasing ACEs within families. So how is it that we can just address what is and work with what we've got to focus on the things that are really going well and try to do more of that?
And you talked a little bit about teaching resilience. Can you talk more about what that means? What is resilience for both kids and parents when dealing with ACEs?
Well, I can talk a little bit about adults and parents, because that's the area that I work in now and do a community group for women that I voluntarily do, and I partner with Haven House. And this is really focused on building women's emotional resilience. Many of those women that come are women who have children, and they're really wanting a time to be emotionally supported, but also learn social and emotional resilience, which really looks like being able to be with emotions, be okay about having emotions, to understand your emotions more clearly, and bringing a kind inner voice to about having emotions and not having that critical voice towards oneself, or really offering oneself self-kindness. And because we know that when we have parents and in this case women who are able to really care for themselves emotionally, they do that for their children. They want to do that. And I have had wonderful stories about mothers that have talked about just telling their child something like, oh, I just feel sad right now that I'm crying because of that. And then the child later will say, you know, I'm just feeling sad right now. I'm just having that emotion. So I think we really kind of teach our children how to be emotionally resilient when we are. But we have to have those skills. So just that kind of was speaking to adults and how I see parents wanting to break that cycle. And that's a great question, Renee. Jill?
I just thought of a quote that I have here from a parent that's connected to Sprout since 2016 that reminds me of some of the ways in which we build resilience in parents. And it says, through Sprout services, we were able to understand our daughter's sleep issues better. We found out she needed occupational therapy, and I was able to attend a stress reduction seminar. All of this have greatly improved our family dynamic, and I have become a calmer and more confident parent.
Wonderful.
About those connections.
Wonderful.
I want to change gears just a little bit and talk about developmental disabilities. This is Developmental Disability Month. Can you tell us something we don't know about developmental disabilities?
Well, states have an affirmative obligation to help children who are experiencing a developmental delay in one or more areas. And Sprout and the school district offer developmental screenings and evaluations free of charge. So that's something that I feel like every parent should know, but particularly parents that have concerns about their children's development, and that when there is a concern from a parent, that should always be taken seriously. So the things that Sprout offers, developmental screening and evaluation, can determine whether or not your child needs more in-depth testing, and/or if the child is actually in their developmental typical range.
And in addition, thanks for bringing that up, that March is Developmental Disability Month. And one of the themes this year is really about inclusiveness and inclusion. And I think that's really a big part. Having been in Homer as a pediatric OT many years ago, there are little ones that I worked with now that are adults. And they have their own businesses, they are holding jobs, and it's really fun to see children who have had these experiences early on, and then are part of the community. And I think it's everyone's responsibility to have that inclusion. Whatever our abilities are, how can we, how can we reach out and embrace one another a little bit more?
And I think that leads me to another question. You know, we've been talking a lot about the ways in which parents and people at Sprout support kids 0 to 5, but you know, are there other ways that the community can support young kids 0 to 5, and policymakers can support young kids 0 to 5?
Well, I'm going to give the simplest answer since I'm the board member. Well, one of the ways that you can support always is through a financial contribution. And remember, Pick, Click, Give, which every nonprofit in town is promoting right now, right? And it's a wonderful way to use a permanent dividend fund. So we certainly welcome that, and we also welcome any volunteers directly to Sprout. I'll say that, Jill, since I'm the board member.
Thanks, Susie. I think that, you know, one thing that One vision that we have at Sprout is really that we want to help promote the idea that all community members have a part in impacting the way that children grow up here in this community. And so I think everybody can play a part, whether that's, like you mentioned, at the grocery store, if you see a parent whose child is experiencing a frequent tantrum, you know, how can you support them on an airplane when that's a high stress time for parents? Or, you know, in what ways can you empathize with parenting, and whether you're a parent or not, and just support those early years so that we have a really healthy community. As far as political support, you know, we locally have a very supportive representative in Paul Seaton, and he is really has always supported early childhood development, and we really appreciate that, because that's a big voice to support what's going on. And right now, I don't have all of the details in front of me, but I can tell you that there is a resolution that the Alaska Children's Trust has presented, and it is about acknowledging ACEs, the topic we were talking about earlier, adverse childhood experiences, and having the state of Alaska identify that ACEs are a problem, and that we should use research and science to base our decisions on.
And policy. Yeah, great.
So Sprout has played such a big role in the past 30 years in helping healthy childhood development. Can you talk about what's next for Sprout? What do you see in the next 30 years?
Great question.
I think that one thing that we see is that Sprout serves as the 0 to 5 hub for all families in our region, and linking services and resources for families. So we want families, all families that have kids 0 to 5, to know that we're here for them, and that we have something that we can offer to support them in their child's development and growth.
And some of that may just be the resource center of saying, oh, you've got that going on with your child. Here, let us refer you to one of our partners, and having that kind of communication and having really strong links with other partners. Because what we know about these different organizations, they're funded through different funding streams, and sometimes we can't make easy links with them. So we really want to strengthen our network with our organizational partners and really be able to share with families of the rich resources that we have in this community.
One thing that's in the near future for us is that we will be ending this 30-year anniversary celebration with a birthday party for Sprout that's on April 24th from 10 to noon. And it's at Sprout right there in our courtyard. It's during Week of the Young Child, another really exciting event celebrating early childhood that is a week long that ends with the Safe Kids Fair. So we hope on April 24th from 10 to noon to see all of you there.
Right, and you don't have to have children to come. You can come and participate and also volunteer.
Great. Well, I want to wish Sprout a happy birthday again. Thanks so much to both of you for coming in and talking to us about Sprout and about healthy childhood development. This has been The Coffee Table. I'm Renee Gross. Thanks to my guests, Jill and Susie from Sprout Family Services. It's just about 9:56 a.m. You're listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer. And Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is coming up next.